The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Blomquist, and today I'll be reciting poems from the pens of poets such as Elie Schoenfeld, Danusha Lamaris, Mujar Kaf, and Joy Harjo, to name but a few of the superb writers found in the outstanding anthology Poetry of Presence, Volume 2, More Mindfulness Poems, from Grayson Books Publishing, 2023, and edited by Phyllis Cole Dye and Ruby R. Wilson. In their introduction to this volume, the editors note in part that many poems in this volume delve into varieties of suffering, such as woundedness, illness, loss, death, as well as prejudice, bigotry, injustice, violence, and war. A host of tough stuff, frankly, most of us would rather not deal with. But mindfulness poetry has the potential to crack open that tough stuff, one stanza, one line, even one word at a time. Mindfulness poetry can thus help us keep or regain our footing. It can provide a refuge where we can recharge when we're worn down, where we can just be. And so, with that said, I'll now begin our program with the poem titled Patriotism by Elie Schoenfeld, wherein the narrator offers a song of glorious praise to Mother Earth. It reads as follows. My country is this dirt that gathers under my fingernails when I'm in the garden. The quiet bacteria and fungi, all the little insects and bugs are my compatriots. They are idealistic, always working together for the common good. I kneel on the earth and pledge my allegiance to all the dirt of the world, to all of that soil which grows flowers and food for the just and unjust alike. The soil does not care what we think about or who we love. It knows our true substance of what we are really made. I stand my ground on this ground which will ultimately recruit us all to its side. Elie Schoenfeld is the author of three collections of poetry. Her work has appeared in an assortment of anthologies, small press journals, and on the Writer's Almanac. She has participated in many projects working with artists from various genres, and she has worked with regional literary organizations on the community of poetry projects. She has been the grateful recipient of the ARAC McKnight Fellowship grants, and she has served as the 2016 to 2018 Duluth Poet Laureate. Appreciating one's place in the greater scheme of things is pondered in our next verse, Feeding the Worms, by Danusha Lamaris. Ever since I found out that earthworms have taste buds all over the delicate pink strings of their bodies, I pause, dropping apple peels into the compost bin. Imagine the dark, writhing ecstasy, the sweetness of apples permeating their pores. I offer beets and parsley, avocado and melon, the feathery tops of carrots. I had always thought theirs a mental life, eyeless and hidden, almost vulgar, though now, it seems, they bear a pleasure so sublime, so decadent, I want to enhance it however I can, forgetting for a moment my place on the menu. Danusha Lamaris' work has appeared in The Best American Poetry, The New York Times, The Southern Review, Orion, The American Poetry Review, and Plowshares. Her second book, Bonfire Opera, University of Pittsburgh Press, 2020, was a finalist for the Patterson Poetry Prize and the winner of the Northern California Book Award in Poetry. She lives in Santa Cruz, California, and teaches private writing workshops. Up next, the anti-poem, Me Privilege Est Tu Privilege, by Moja Kath, in which the narrator offers her enduring support to an unnamed immigrant. It reads, I will be your auntie in the new city where you have not yet met a soul. Come to my table and eat. Teach me your pronouns. I will be your auntie who wires you money wherever you are stranded in this world, missed your bus, your flight. When you're passing through, show me how to outline drama eyes like that. I will be your auntie with old-fashioned button shirts and an ironing board you can borrow for your interview. I will introduce you to whatever board members I know. Introduce me to your artist friends. You'll make me look good at my next meeting. You can unfold my couch and teach me golden hip moves. I will slip you any privilege I grasp. I am your auntie for life. Here are clean sheets and my spare key. Moja Kaff is a Syrian-American poet and the author of My Lover Feeds Me Grapefruit, published in 2020, among other titles. The recipient of awards from the Pushcart Press, the Arkansas Arts Council, the Radius of Arab American Writers, and the Northwest Arkansas Black Democratic Caucus, she works as a professor and lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas. In the following verse, the sacredness of family and kinship is pondered by the speaker, and it's titled The Story Wheel by Joy Harjo. I leave you to your ceremony of grieving, which is also of celebration, given when an honored humble one leaves behind a trail of happiness in the dark of human tribulation. None of us is above the other in this story of forever, though we follow that red road home, one behind another. There is a light breaking through the storm, and it is buffalo hunting weather. There you can see your mother. She is busy as she ever was. She holds up a new jingle dress for her youngest beloved daughter, and for her special son a set of finely beaded gear, all for that welcome home dance, the most favorite of all, when everyone finds their way back together to dance, eat, and celebrate. And tell story after story of how they fought and played in the story wheel, and how no one was ever really lost at all. Joy Harjo is a member of the Muskogee Nation, and she has served 3 terms as the 23rd U.S. Poet Laureate. She is also a celebrated anthologist, storyteller, musician, memoirist, playwright, and activist. Acclaimed author of 9 books of poetry, her most recent is An American Sunrise, published in 2019. She lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she is the inaugural artist-in-residence of the Bob Dylan Center. Our next poem, titled Detour, by Ruth Feldman, offers a clever metaphor regarding human relations. It reads as follows. I took a long time getting here, much of it wasted on wrong turns, back roads riddled by ruts. I had adventures I never would have known if I had proceeded as the crow flies. Superhighways are so sure of where they are going, they arrive too soon. A straight line isn't always the shortest distance between two people. Sometimes I act as though I'm heading somewhere else while, imperceptibly, I narrow the gap between you and me. I'm not sure I'll ever know the right way, but I don't mind getting lost now and then. Maps don't know everything. Born in 1911, Ruth Feldman dedicated her life to translating poetry from the Italian language into English, producing 15 such volumes. She was acclaimed for her work, receiving, among other honors, a Literary Translator's Fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Raymond E. Baldwin Award, and the Italo Calvino Award. She also published 5 books of her original poetry. Ruth Feldman died in 2003. Being a glasses-half-full type of person has its perks, as noted in our next poem, And So, by Amanda Gorman. It is easy to harp, harder to hope. This truth, like the white-blown sky, can only be felt in its entirety, or not at all. The glorious was not made to be piecemeal. Despite being drenched with dread, this dark earl still dreams. We smile like a sun that is never shunted. Grief, when it goes, does so softly, like the exit of that breath we just realized we clutched. Since the world is round, there is no way to walk away from each other, for even then we are coming back together. Some distances, if allowed to grow, are merely the greatest proximities. Born and raised in Los Angeles, Amanda Gorman is the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history, as well as an award-winning writer and cum laude graduate of Harvard University. In 2017, she was appointed the first-ever National Youth Poet Laureate by Urban Word. Reconciling oneself with another is the subject of our next poem, The Distance, by Rafael Jesus Gonzalez. The distance between us is holy ground to be traversed, feet there, hands raised in joyous dance, so that once it is crossed, the tracks of our pilgrimage shine in the darkness and light, are coming together in a bright and steady light. The theme of reconciliation continues in our next verse, We Were Made for This, by Julia M. Fehrenbacher. I want to fill this space with words that will erase the distance between your certainty and mine. Make room under the big, empty sky for grace to sit. Move closer until skin touches skin, eyes see eyes. Maybe we can take a good, deep breath, clear body and mind of all that comes before. Promise to pay attention, to stay, especially when it hurts. Maybe this time we will see that it has nothing to do with who we've been or who we think we are, and everything to do with being fiercely here, like breath is for life. Yes, like that. Maybe, perhaps, we can begin and begin again with, I don't know. See that it takes just one step toward to erase the distance that was only ever a thought. Dinner is on the stove. Will you join me? Now, no doubt you've heard the old saying, waste not, want not. And nowhere is that sentiment better expressed than in our next poem, Rivalita, by Donna Hilbert. I praise the way you save stale bread left on the shelf too long, rinds of Parmesan tough to grate, old greens not crisp enough for salad, but fine for soup, reboiled from what's on hand. I love the way you salvage bruised tomato, sprouting onion, imperfect squash, laying no morsel to mold, nothing to waste, filling each space with aroma of soup, saying supper, manja, come eat, come safely, come home. Life's unexpected circumstances can bring about truly strange outcomes, as expressed in the following poem, Potatoes, by Lucy Atkins. He was traveling from Chicago to Joliet, he said, on the expressway, Old State Highway 59, when a semi-rollover caused a load of potatoes to scatter across the road. People stopped, pulled their pickups and jeeps, their Chevy vans and VW bugs off to the shoulder, got out and dashed across three lanes of traffic after Idaho russets and Yukon golds, reds and whites and yams. I would have understood if it were a Brinks truck with flying 20s and hundreds, but potatoes? Perhaps it was the fact of sudden bounty dropping down in front of you, and like unexpected grace, you must be grateful, whatever it is that is given. Lucy Atkins grew up in rural Nebraska, and she has received her undergraduate degree from Auburn University in Montgomery, Alabama, and her MFA from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. Her poetry has appeared in many journals, as well as former U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooze's column, American Life in Poetry. She has also co-authored a book of nonfiction, Writing in Community, which won an IPPY in the Independent Publishers Book Awards. Perhaps you've heard the expression, don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. Well, the narrator in our next poem would seem to agree with that sentiment. It's called Trust by Thomas R. Smith. It's like so many other things in life to which you must say no or yes. So you take your car to the new mechanic. Sometimes the best thing to do is trust. The package left with the disreputable-looking clerk. The check gulped by the night deposit. The envelope passed by dozens of strangers all show up at their intended destinations. The theft that could have happened doesn't. Wind finally gets where it was going through the snowy trees, and the river, even when frozen, arrives at the right place. And sometimes you sense how faithfully your life is delivered, even though you can't read the address. Thomas R. Smith is a poet and teacher living in western Wisconsin. His most recent poetry collections include Windy Day at Kebakona, New and Selected Prose Poems, White Pine Press, and Storm Island, Red Dragonfly Press. He has also edited several books, most recently Airmail, The Letters of Robert Bly and Thomas Tranströmer, Grey Wolf Press. He teaches at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis and posts poems and essays at his website, thomasrsmithpoet.com. Up next, we have yet another example of trust. It's called Jump by Allison Luderman. Because my car is 20 years old, and the gizmo that goes ding, ding, ding when you leave the lights on has been busted for at least a decade, I'm always contending with a comatose battery, always approaching strangers to ask for a jump in Trader Joe's parking lot, or on a deserted street in the growing dark, where a man in a python green Porsche affixes the red and black alligator clamps confidently yet incorrectly, killing the thing altogether, resulting in a 10 p.m. call to AAA, an hour's long wait at a 7-Eleven, and a midnight ride sitting in the cab of a tow truck whose driver has just been dumped by his wife of 11 years and desperately needs to talk about it. These are the adventures you may have if you tend to leave your lights on, as I do, at dusk when the light is tricky, the hour between dog and wolf, as the French call it, when the distracted mind is too full of shadows to remember what the hand did just moments ago. By now, I'm an old pro at setting up cables, fitting black to minus, red to plus, but I'll never get over the small miracle of how fast it all works, the spark arcing quicker than thought as soon as a benefactor turns their ignition switch. My own car springing to life again, like Sleeping Beauty after just the right kiss. The way a smile will ricochet from a stranger's face to my own, or one kind word retrieve a flailing soul from the abyss. Cry for empathy is resounded in our next poem titled The Word That Is a Prayer by Ellery Akers. One thing you know when you say it, all over the earth people are seeing it with you. A child blurting it out as the seizures take her. A woman reciting it on a cot in a hospital. What if you take a cab through the Tenderloin, at a streetlight, a man in a wool cap, yawn unraveling across his face, knocks at the window. He says, "Please." By the time you hear what he's saying, the light changes, the cab pulls away, and you don't go back, though you know someone just prayed to you the way you pray. Please. A word so short it could get lost in the air as it floats up to God, like the feather it is, knocking and knocking, and finally falling back to earth as rain, as pellets of ice, soaking a black branch, collecting in drains, leaching into the ground, and you walk in that weather every day. Up next, When Giving Is All We Have, by Alberto Rios, in which the narrator extols the art of self-surrender. It reads, "We give because someone gave to us. We give because nobody gave to us. We give because giving has changed us. We give because giving could have changed us. We have been better for it. We have been wounded by it. Giving has many faces. It is loud and quiet, big though small, diamond in wood nails. Its story is old, the plot worn, and the pages too, but we read this book anyway, over and again. Giving is first and every time, hand to hand, mine to yours, yours to mine. You gave me blue, and I gave you yellow. Together we are simple green. You gave me what you did not have, and I gave you what I had to give. Together we made something greater from the difference." The grace of living life in the moment is explored in our next poem, The Wild Geese, by Wendell Berry. horseback on Sunday morning. Harvest over, we taste persimmon and wild grape, sharp sweet of summer's end. In time's maze over fall fields, we name names that went west from here, names that rest on graves. We open a persimmon seed to find the tree that stands in promise, pale in the seed's marrow. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them to their way, clear in the ancient faith. What we need is here. And we pray not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye, clear. What we need is here. And now we'll conclude today's program with Holding the Light by Stuart Kassenbaum, in which the narrator posits that making the best of life, regardless of all its disappointments, is what makes life really worth living. Gather up whatever is glittering in the gutter, whatever has tumbled in the waves or fallen in flames out of the sky, for it is not only our hearts that are broken, but the heart of the world as well. Stitch it back together. Make a place where the day speaks to the night and the earth speaks to the sky. Whether we created God or God created us, it all comes down to this. In our imperfect world, we are meant to repair and stitch together what beauty there is. Stitch it with compassion and wire. See how everything we have made gathers the light inside and overflows. A blessing. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us at Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Bloomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is The End by A.A. Milne. When I was one, I had just begun. When I was two, I was nearly new. When I was three, I was hardly me. When I was four, I was not much more. When I was five, I was just alive. But now I am six. I'm as clever as clever. So I think I'll be six now, forever and ever. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal and read by me, Nikki Whichello. Thanks for listening. May your life be filled with poetic wonder.